Jason Unplugged, the podcast, presents in association with Dream Hill Press. Born at the age of 47, a novel. Chapter 1. The car's name was Isaac. Night was falling as the motor died and its driver glided it off the highway into an abandoned parking lot. The engine light had come on long ago, and an enormous dent on the passenger side marked the spot where a back door could have been. The driver did not want to spend the night there. He turned the key in the ignition a few more times just to make sure it was dead, and then killed the lights to keep from drawing unwanted attention. There was no foot traffic in the area, but once a raccoon had crossed the parking lot in the darkness, and the driver had to spend a few minutes wondering where it went. He swept the console with his finger for any last remnants of the vegetation, using the lighter he had just bought as a flashlight. He told himself he was glad the car had least had the decency to get his girlfriend all the way home before it gave up the ghost for good. Isaac was a gentleman till the end. Well, make that ex-girlfriend. It was dark when he called the tow, and looking in the rearview mirror, he could see the lights of the hotel behind him. I was almost back to my own hotel, he thought. He had had almost the exact same thing happened to him nearly a year before with Isaac. And once again, he was trying to get back to a hotel room. He waited and, lighting a cigarette, began to think of the date that had gone awry. He had noticed that, try as he might, it was impossible for him to hide anything from her. It was as if she knew him better than he knew himself. This woman, with whom he had spent the last 15 months, cruising through South Jersey in search of fame, laughing, loving, obeying no laws, except the law of eating and caring. Novel writing days and high nights, no tomorrows, unable to remember yesterday. They lived for today. And Isaac was there for all of it. But there were other successes which were harder to duplicate. The driver plodded forward day by day with his book. He had written a novel loosely based on his life, his baby, and yet he always maintained that one day he would be reunited with his biological children. And that wasn't happening yet, though. So there were times when he read himself parts of his own books that had made an impression on him, or when he would sleep with them clutched tightly to his chest in the night. Sometimes he would comment to his girlfriend on the passage he had just read for the millionth time, passages which she also knew well. But for the past few days he had spoken to her about all but one thing. The stranger, the black girl online, with whom he planned to do business with in about 4 days. He had communicated with her only once, the day before. The girl was the leader of some money-making enterprise, and she always posted screenshots of people thanking her, hands filled with bundles of $100 and $1,000 bills, that potential clients would feel more comfortable that way. He did not know how she came to follow him. A friend request had popped up from the stranger on his IG out of the blue months before, and he had accepted it. "I want to join the money team," I texted her, finally. "Okay, sir," the black girl said. The girl was typical of the hip-hop generation, with tight jeans and hair that vaguely recalled Gina from the show Martin. "What state are you from?" "New Jersey," he said. During their brief exchange, she told him there was a holiday special going on, 300 giving him 6,000 today. He wondered what holiday she was referring to, since it was the end of July. He told her he wasn't ready to proceed just yet, but that he had already downloaded the app and was just waiting till Friday morning when he got paid. "How long does it usually take?"
40 to 45 minutes.
"Trusting you."
"You don't have anything to worry about, okay? This never once failed with any of my clients, so I don't think it's going to start with you, okay?"
He typed an answer that allowed him to avoid expressing what he really felt. He was sure the girl would never understand what he wanted the money for. He went on dreaming about the weekend ahead, a bed full of cash, and his girlfriend's blue, Polish eyes going wide with surprise and delight. As the weeks passed, the reviews would come in, the books would be distributed, as well as all related merchandise, and he would give away at book signings to drive sales. He recognized that he was close to something he had never been before, the reality of being a known author. And his book was good, and he knew it. People would be lining up to read it soon, at least in the northeastern part of the country. With the woman who stuck with him in all his trials at his side, his dreams were finally within reach. And now it was Friday morning. His government funds had been deposited in the wee hours, as per usual. "Scared money don't make money," he thought Tony. He was excited, and at the same time uneasy. Maybe it was a scam. Look at what Madoff made off with. It doesn't matter, though, he thought. This was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. But in his heart, he knew that it did matter, and he knew that con artists, like carnival barkers and traveling salesmen, always found their mark in a world where a sucker was still born every minute. The day was dawning, and Tony prevailed on his body to rise. He was woke, but not yet free. "At least I don't live on the West Coast," he thought. 17 major wildfires going on. Hundreds of thousands of acres destroyed. Lives ruined. California can't seem to catch a break. The only things that concerned him were his girlfriend and his books. Tornadoes, floods, snowstorms, famines, earthquakes, all attempts by nature to also reach that ideal state of balance did not concern him. And yet he couldn't help but be aware that more and more nature was missing the mark by a larger and larger degree. Yes, the weather was constantly changing, continuously seeking its own perfect harmony. And sometimes it got close, and this resulted in awe-inspiring, beautiful blue skies, spotted with fluffy clouds like Spuds McKenzie. When I decided to balance my life, I did it with the expectation that things would soon get better, thought Tony. The media and the gurus tell us it is possible to achieve this balance, but it wasn't happening so far. So he dressed himself and packed his clothes. He knew that in less than an hour from now, he and Isaac would be cruising down White Horse Pike toward his girlfriend's place, and they would enjoy a decent breakfast. Not like the breakfast they had in this veterans facility where he was now living. But when he thought to complain about the awful food, he remembered that just a short time ago, he had just been overjoyed to come to a place like this after months of living in his car. I must be patient, he thought, and he was grateful for the roof over his head again. The roof over his head had a purpose,
and so did he. His purpose in life was to move his books, and after a year in New Jersey, he was still having trouble. So he was planning, with the $4,000, to print hundreds of copies of this novel and leave them behind for free all over Philadelphia and New York in the most curious places, like black beauty parlors and barbershops, homeless shelters and waiting rooms, prisons and airport lounges, all in the hopes that someone important would find them and think the book was so good that they would discover him. That he needed a couple thousand dollars or more to collect these accomplishments was an afterthought. His mother had wanted him to finish college and their boy become a source of pride for the family. They never had anyone graduate from college in their family. But ever since he had been a child, Tony Brown had wanted to see his name in print, and that only. And this was much more important to him than a piece of sheepskin and graduating summa cum laude somewhere. His education relied more, much more, on things that made you say thank you loud. Besides, he'd been much better at math before they decided to mix the alphabet into it. Sunrise. The light rose, or came to life, like a slowly growing fetus. A close observer might have noticed the long shadows it cast as it rose above the Cracker Barrel parking lot, but there were no close observers. Customers were few. Even Tony's attention was elsewhere, staring aimlessly into the menu in front of him. When he and Danusha got to the restaurant, she lit up in surprise. Inside, Tony was distracted. Danusha noticed Tony and tensed. She was speaking. "I might be able to enjoy it here if I knew what is eating Gilbert Grape," she said. "I'm fine. I'm still upset I didn't get that apartment." "Are you sure that is all it is?" "What's to say? You want me to make up something?" Danusha said no more. An hour later, Tony dropped her back at her apartment building for a brief time. She had to make lunch for her husband, who was blind from macular degeneration, and elderly. The plan was to reunite with him, or with her, in a few hours, and check into a hotel so they could spend a few precious stolen moments. As he dropped her off, Tony could see in Danusha's ears and eyes an unspoken recognition that he was up to something, a knowledge that was obvious, despite her silence. The compulsion to fast-forward his success was overriding all judgment. The sky was a vibrant blue, just like Isaac. He knew just what he was going to do with the money, the professional reviews he would seek and how much each would cost, the libraries and indie bookstores he'd form relationships with, and the online platform he would build that would form the foundation for all of it. "And my book will be a bestseller," thought Tony. "I'm going to make millions." He was about to send a message to the black girl now. Let her know he was ready. "I'm about to make a well-balanced, responsible investment with excellent growth potential," he thought, as he looked to the horizon. But he couldn't quite drown out that still small voice whispering within. "Get rich quick scheme." "Just remember," President Trump was saying, "everything you are seeing and hearing is not what's happening." In Philadelphia, a 21-year-old man was shot and killed while riding his bike. He was shot twice in the head and at least once in the chin and backside. In Ohio, a 16-year-old was crushed to death by a rear minivan seat when it suddenly collapsed, shut after he left his family to retrieve a soccer ball. A man in California lost his wife and great-grandchild in the car wildfire when he didn't make it back in time to save them. In Israel, Palestinians were charging the border wall and being shot by Israeli soldiers as they did so. Something terrible is happening somewhere, all the time. In the Bible, it is said that the Jews are descended from Isaac and Arabs from Palestinians and descended from, ultimately, Isaac's brother Ishmael, both sons of Abraham. The president had recently moved the embassy to Jerusalem. If Jesus were here to see what they are doing in his name, thought Tony, he would never stop throwing up. Maybe we're all that way, he mused. Like Abraham and Sarah, that is. Even me. I'm about to send $400 to someone I've never met via Western Union, on the promise that within an hour I will receive 10 times that amount. Looking at his watch, he calculated he would know by noon if it was real or not. God promised Abraham and Sarah a child in their old age. Sarah, not content to wait, sent her handmaid into her husband's tent to produce the promised man-child, instead of waiting. Get-rich-quick schemes go back thousands of years. In nature, new beginnings are created through an act of destruction, Tony thought, as he looked again at his watch and pressed the gas pedal. He had suddenly remembered that, with express shipping, he could have 100 author copies in his possession within a week. The stranger gave Tony instructions. He was to put $400 in an account and then transfer the funds to a certain number through the app. He went to his bank. Then he deposited $400 into his own account. He returned to Isaac, getting in. He attempted to transfer the funds. The transaction failed. He tried a second time, but it failed again. The stranger told him it was all right. He could go to a local pharmacy and buy a card called a money pack and load the funds on that. It sounded reasonable. The feeling in Tony's heart was one who knew deep down the stranger was full of crap. But he also needed that $4,000. He knew schemes like these were for the lazy and unambitious, and that he would at least should respect his dreams enough to pay the full price for them. And writing books was not a get-rich-quick scheme in any way, shape, or form. Anyone who decided to write a book must expect to invest a lot of time and effort without any guarantee of success, and know that what you became in the process was more important than the destination. But there were so many people who seemed to have gotten help this way, Tony thought, trying to reassure himself. He just wanted a guarantee of security for himself, a bulwark against catastrophe or instant disaster, like we all do. He didn't want his hand to begin trembling, showing himself he was nervous. At Walgreens, he found the money pack card, and he brought it to the counter. An old woman stepped forward to ring up his purchase. Tony told her what he wanted. $400? Said the woman, never taking her eyes from his face. Then she called her manager. Tony was becoming apprehensive. He didn't know this person he was sending money to, and the woman sensed it. Now there were two old women looking at him behind the counter, strangely. Look, I just want to load $400 onto this card, that's all. he said, already regretting having come. He thought for a moment that it would be better to just walk out rather than to get into a conversation about why and where he was sending the money.
"Do you know who you're sending it to, hon? There's a lot of folks coming back here after they buy this card saying they got scammed. I just don't want to make sure. I want to make sure you know what you're doing, honey."
She's right, he thought. But he decided to tell the truth. A writer always tells the truth. And that's what makes a writer's word, one you can trust. "No, I don't know the person. But what they're promising seems real. I mean, really legitimate. But you're probably right, though. I shouldn't do this." He smiled, out of happiness. He was going to be able to save his $400 because he had talked to an old lady in Walgreens. "Thank you," he said, appearing relieved and walking out. But he would not be dissuaded. He returned to his car and told the stranger by text what had happened. Tony tried sending the funds through the app again, and this time it worked. Sitting in the Cavalier, he waited anxiously for confirmation that the stranger had received it. Outside, a steady rain was falling, slowly at first, then a downpour.
"I just got it," the stranger said. "We will get started, and in 10 to 15, there will be a notification that the account has sent $4,000, and all you have to do is hit accept and then send out the video shouting us out."
"First, swear to me. Swear that you will keep your word in exchange for what I've done."
"Damn, bro, like literally."
Tony didn't know what that meant, but he didn't like it. He didn't like it one bit. As the minutes ticked away, he waited and waited. He waited some more, and the money never came. Nor was any response detected. So Tony was disappointed, and he knew then that life was a murderous game of fuckery, and the fuckery had made him dumb enough to fall for some old bullshit. He remembered he had to appear as if nothing was wrong. His date with girlfriend was looming, and he didn't want her to suspect a thing. He sat stone still in Isaac's driver's seat, looking straight ahead. "How could I have been such a fool?" he thought. "At least I have most of my money left. And that'll be gone soon, too." He reached in his back seat and produced one of the champagne tall boys he'd bought and took a swig. The day was hot, but the beer was refreshing. That was what Tony kept beating himself up about. He knew it took time and effort to build wealth properly. And now he had set his plans back. Not weeks, but months. He decided to wait until it stopped raining before going to pick up Danusha. A few hours from now, they would have their date. He thought about telling her his latest debacle, but changed his mind. He feared her chastisement, and that was not something he wanted. Being born poor was not my mistake, but dying poor would be, he thought. Still, there was no get-rich overnight system in history equal to a poor girl marrying a rich man. But Tony Brown was not a poor girl and never would be. "From now on, I'll guess I'll have to get rich quick by counting my blessings," he said to himself. It's crazy that some people feel 2 to 5 years in business is a long time enough to get rich. But don't feel that 40 years at a job working for someone else is a long time to stay broke. One day Tony hoped to have a residual income to match his residual bills. And he would have liked to live in a world where people didn't steal from one another. But this was reality. Looking at the rain outside, Tony felt an impending sense of failure. All because he wasn't quite where he knew he should be in life. It would be his turn one day. One day, he told himself. Until then, his only effective alternative was to accept the reality of the universe as it was, and to allow this acceptance to generate its power for him, and to open his heart and to feel a deep gratitude and joy for his life as it is, to perceive its power and its beauty despite its ordinariness. He put Isaac in gear and headed for Danusha's.